Well, he's had me in a certain direction here lately, and he's not letting me off of it. He gave me a mandate this morning to start off with these few comments, and so I'm going to. And we've been talking about, and so has Alan, and about the mind. Well, this is the warning that I want to present to you first. You see, there is wrong doctrine that says, well, just change how you think. That's all you have to do. It's mind over matter. No, that's not what I'm teaching you. And that's not what the Holy Ghost is wanting you to understand. It's not mind over matter. See, that right there will get you into all kinds of trouble. Well, I just don't like this reality that I'm living in. I'm just going to think it's something else and change it. No, you're not going to think something else and change the reality that you're dealing with. Well, I don't like these symptoms the doctor told me. I don't accept that. What I accept is I'm just healed, and that's what I believe. Based on what? Have you done anything besides just change the thoughts in your mind? Because that's not going to do it. That's mental assent. And if that's all it is, you'll get killed from it. Okay? You can't do that. It's not about mental assent. That's not what we're teaching here. So right off the bat, I want you to understand that it's not think and grow rich mentality. It's none of that. That's not what we're talking about. And it's very important that you understand it. Because there are some ways that I'm trying to say this in such a way that it doesn't take your mind down that path. I'm trying to, and it's not me. Here's the Holy Ghost's problem, if you will. He has to speak this through whatever degree of transformation I'm at right now. Because I'm hearing this on the inside. And what I'm hearing on the inside, I'm telling you what, it's good stuff. So what I got to do is, to the best of my ability, get out of the way and say, okay, Holy Ghost, I want to be as pure a vessel that you can speak through, that you can present this to the people. So please, bear with me. At times, if I slip up and I say something, and it's just the word I choose, that maybe it's something that kind of conflicts with you, try to listen to the whole context of what I'm saying. Okay? All right. This basically is, I would say, probably a third part to this teaching that I've been doing. The first one was the parable of Joe Public was the first part of it. The second part of it was, you have one mind. And this that I'm going to share with you this morning, if you can grab hold of what I'm trying to say to you, it's going to affect so much of how you understand where you are at this point. Why it is that at times it seems so difficult for you to walk in all that you see in these pages. Because you read these pages and you see all things are possible. All things are possible. And there is a part of you that really the born again new nature that believes this. And you see that. You say, I know I believe it. My new nature is, no, it's not struggling with this. So how can I get what's on these pages working in my life today? Because bless God, I need it now. I see it. My mind tries to ascend to it, and it tries to tell me, yeah, you believe it, Mark. And I end up like the disciples that tried to cast the devil out of the man's son. And it's like, why couldn't I do this? And Jesus continues to look at me and says, Mark, it's simply because of your unbelief. I don't feel like I have unbelief, Jesus. But until the results happen, then there's a certain degree of unbelief, no matter how much I think that I believe it. And that's the dilemma. Let's start in, this is the first scripture. And here's how I'm doing this, just so you understand. I'm sitting at home hours praying and reading these same scriptures. Just praying and reading, that's all I'm doing. He speaks these messages to me. I don't get to write down, okay, this is the first scripture we're going to go to. This will be the second one. I just have it all inside of me. I stand up here, and then he goes, okay, you're going to say this one first. And so that's the first one we go to. So the first one's going to be in 1 Corinthians. It's going to be chapter 13. We're going to look at one verse. That verse is going to be the 12th verse. And here's the dilemma. For now, we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face, when's that going to be? When will you be face to face? When you're standing in front of Jesus. Then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Had someone ask me this question about once we get to heaven. They sent me this on an email. Yeah, this is generating some questions, what I've been teaching. Question was, when I get to heaven, does this renewing process continue? Well, according to what this verse says, when I get there, now I see through this glass darkly. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I'm known. Okay, how's he going to do that? I don't know. Is it going to be instant? I don't know. But I know that when I get there, I will know. However he does it, he does it. But what I want you to focus on is right now, in the here and now, as I stand here today, I'm looking through a glass darkly. What has caused this darkness in the way that I look, in the way that I receive this information, that my mind processes this information? Well, it comes in large part based on how I grew up, how I lived prior to being born again. See, all that time, my soul was being trained by a fallen nature. And the only thing that I had at that point was willpower to stop that inflow of influence from that fallen nature. Had I not used my willpower based on the law that my parents taught me, where they, as Pastor Dave says, they instilled within me an artificial conscience, this is right, this is wrong. Who knew lying was wrong? I didn't know. I liked to lie. It got me out of trouble. Until my parents said, no, Mark, that's wrong. What's wrong about it? I don't get paddled. You know, I don't get paddled for breaking something. I just lied about it. No, you get paddled for the lie. That's not fair. Well, Mark, lying is wrong. I didn't know. My fallen nature was telling me, this is your way out, Mark. Just lie. And I thought it was a good idea. I found out later it wasn't a good idea. My mother, she despised lying. I mean, it was like, oh. And I felt it too as a result. I felt her pain. So I learned. I learned that I can't rely on that fallen nature because it's feeding me corrupt information. Who knew? So what did I do? I put a barrier up in these areas where I learned that's wrong, that's wrong. I put a barrier up. I'm not going to receive that. I am not going to allow that fallen nature to influence me in this area because I know in my intellect, has told me if you lie, lying equals pain. So I don't do it. So I built a barrier up in those areas. I also have the world, this fallen world that I lived in, that I live in, that I grew up in, influencing me. Who knew how much it influenced me? everything around us is affected by death. Even this. I rub my hands across here. Dust. Do you know? Whenever the garden was created, there was no dust there. This represents death. You are surrounded by death and you don't even realize. I don't realize it. And it is programming me. All these things around me, they are affecting me. And this is the dilemma. I'm looking through this glass darkly based on how I was programmed by that fallen nature whenever it was still here. Now it's gone. Now I have an influence from my new nature because I'm born again. But I still have this program in my mind. I still have an influence from a world that's still fallen. And it's still feeding my five senses. So, I'm a teacher. So I have to do something to impact you. So when you walk out these doors, you carry it with you. So here today, this is Joe Public's dilemma. If my five physical senses are the problem, see, he's listened to my teaching, and he's gathered this. All I got to do is just stop this inflow of information into my five senses. That's all I got to do. So here's Joe Public's. Here's his solution. I brought some articles with me to help me to implement Joe Public's solution, at least in his mind. Now I have to do this in a certain order because if I don't, it's going to be a problem for me. All right. So the first thing is my sense of hearing. I'm representing Joe Public here. My sense of hearing. I'm just going to cut off what I hear because I hear these commercials on TV. They tell me that I'm sick. They tell me that I have to take this medicine, this medicine, this medicine. And I know that's programming me. So guess what? I got little earplugs for those listening. I'm just going to put these little earplugs in my ear. I'm not going to hear it no more. That'll solve my problem. All right. So I put these in. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. Shut it all off. All right. Now, especially when I first got born again, just the days after that, and I smoked for 10 years prior to getting saved. So just after that, and I can only tell you my own experience. I can't tell you anything about yours or why it happened the way it did. I can tell you just about mine. When I got born again, I sensed that there was something there that told me I don't have to smoke anymore. And I laid him down and never smoked again. I don't know. I mean, that's just my experience. But I will tell you this. There were times, especially like the first month or two afterwards, if I saw someone light up, I didn't mind walking real close to them. You know, kind of get that smell, that first puff of smoke. I'd smell it. So, you know, Joe Public said, hey, I've got those problems. I'm just going to cut off that sense of smell, and that'll solve everything. So I just put a little nose clip on there. I'll take care of that sense of smell. I won't do that anymore. I won't smell it. Okay, now then, I got this sense of touch. So here's what I'm going to do. I've got these gloves here. These represent cutting off the sense of touch right here. So I'm going to put these on. This will solve everything. And now I've cut off the sense of touch. All right, now, what do I got left? Well, I got the sense of sight, and I got the sense of taste. Well, I got to cut the sense of taste off last, otherwise you can't understand what I'm saying. So, the sense of sight's easy. I'm just going to blindfold myself, all right? Now, I'm not going to actually tie it because I could hurt myself. All right, now then the last thing is, all right, my wife said put a sock in your mouth, but I don't want to do that. So I have this little bandana. I'm gonna cut the sense of taste off because here's the problem with the sense of taste. You know, I love Well, I can't tell you some of the things I love, but it's usually food related, okay? So, and it can cause me trouble at times, so I'm going to just stick this in my mouth, and that'll solve everything. Oh no! I still had a thought! That didn't work! I did all of that and I still had a thought that I know wasn't right. Let that sink in just for a little bit. Still had a thought. You shut off all of those horrible senses feeding you all of that information from this fallen world. And yet, there were still those thoughts running through your mind. Those thoughts running through your mind. I know that's not right. I shouldn't be thinking that way. I cut off all the five physical senses, and yet I still have this program running in my mind. The dilemma of Joe Public. The answer is not cutting off the five physical senses. The answer is changing from the inside out. Changing from the inside out. He told us in Paul told us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that I can be transformed by the renewing of my mind. That transformation process is a work that happens on the inside out. I want to tell you something. You are the biggest key in that transformation process. Doesn't it just happen automatically? Oh, dear heart, I wish it did. I sure wish it did. I wish that God would have just got me saved. I woke up the next day and the thoughts in my mind and everything I believed just conformed strictly to what He said and what He believes. It doesn't happen that way. Now, I'm not any longer being fed by that fallen nature, because it's dead and gone. I have a new nature. And that's so tied in, so closely with our soul. The influence of that new nature affecting so much of the soul. But the problem here is this. That old programming is still running in the soul. As much as you want to believe, as much as you sense that right attitude, I know I shouldn't do this coming out of that conscience of your new nature. What is it fighting against? You know what I'm talking about. When you're sitting there filling out your taxes. And you know, if this number wasn't in this little box, it would change everything. Where does that thought originate? You don't have a fallen nature anymore. So it's not coming that direction. You're not being fed by that. But you're still having those thoughts. You're still trying to find a way to weasel out a situation. And it's coming up against something. And that something, unless you have hardened yourself to that conscience that's trying to lead you. Now you can do that. And then you can't hear anything once you harden that. What do you mean harden, Mark? Well, okay. So today I X that number out. I know I heard something telling me I shouldn't, but I did anyway. The next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the day after that, you continue doing those things. You sense something telling you, okay, here's that red flashing light. You're at that point of decision. Maybe you're late for an appointment. I'm going to step on everybody's toes here. You're late for an appointment, so I'm just going to go a little faster to get there. Where do you make that decision at? It's not in your new nature. Your new nature says that's a law. You signed a document that said you'd abide by the law. That's what rises up inside of you. You push that away because here's why. You have that program running that's trying to justify going against that new nature. Trying to just, well, it'll get you there a little faster. It'll be okay. Nobody will catch you. Nobody will get hurt. Go ahead. So what do? You say yes. You go on that side and you continue to do it until eventually some people, they've hardened that and can't hear anymore. They can't hear anymore. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody at all? Maybe it's the most subtle thing. You know, I don't deal with, you know, struggling whether or not I'm going to go to a bar tonight or not. That's not it anymore. My struggles are much different now because there has been transformation that's happened. The way I think, the way I believe, it's not what it was a week after I got saved. I'm not dealing with the issues I used to deal with. Now it's just the little things. Okay, you get to tell them myself. It's just the little things. It's like my neighbor that insists on cutting portions of my lawn, and he cuts it so low that there's dirt there instead of grass. And all I want to do is build a fence right there so he can't get over on my side anymore. And something inside of me says, Mark, there's no love in that. It's little things like that now that I deal with. Mark, there's no love. That person's not saved. Are you believing for their salvation, Mark? How is that going to affect him, you building a fence and putting a sign, stay off my grass? Oh, that's going to be the love of Jesus. That's going to draw him to the cross. No, it's not. That's going to show him how not transformed I am. Are you getting this? Do you see what I'm talking about? We're still looking through a glass darkly. And we wonder why it is that what we see in the Word isn't working in us. It's very simple. It's when you face those red light decisions, how are you responding? And furthermore, this is the other thing he's shown me. Why does there have to be a red light there at all? You see, as you transform, you don't even need a red light. I don't need a red light in my conscience telling me not to go to a bar. I don't want to go. You see, I've transformed enough that desire's gone. So now I can go walk right by a bar. I don't care. Oh my gosh. It's a bar. I don't know. Something's pulling me in. It's not like that at all because something has changed in my desire. It's transformed. So there's no need for a red light. That if you can get anything at all in what I say today, it's that. That's the value of this message. It will change your desires. Grab hold of that. It will stop those things that keep wanting to pull you in that wrong direction. It'll cut them off. And if you add a little bit of this thing called fasting, that'll help too. And I'm not talking about, it doesn't have to be huge. I'm finding out that does not have to be a 40-day fast. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? It doesn't have to be that. It can be something though, and that something is helping. I can see it inside of me. I can see where the little bit of fasting I do each week is causing an effect within me. And I thank God for that. Okay, let's go on to a few more scriptures. Which ones, Lord? He said, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I tell you what, I have just fallen in love with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's start off. I guess we're going to start off in verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, that there had to be something hidden from this world. They couldn't understand what was going on. Had they known it, had the devil known that in putting Jesus on that cross, it would have ruined his whole kingdom, do you think he would have had that happen? No. But he didn't know the hidden wisdom. But we speak this wisdom. Verse 7 again. We speak it. When am I speaking this wisdom? When I speak in tongues, this hidden wisdom is what I am presenting. The Holy Ghost creating it in my spirit. I speak it out. Verse 9. For as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. Have you ever heard this at a real, what do you want to say? You know where you go to a church and it feels really dry? Eye has not seen, and they say it real religiously. Ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Gary's been to that church. Brothers and sisters, eye hasn't seen. Now listen to that. If you stop at that verse, everything about God is blind to you. Well, let's not stop there. Verse 10. See, they don't read verse 10. They just stop at verse 9. I don't understand that. Verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And that's a little less. Meaning, the reborn human spirit. He's revealed to us by His Spirit. By the reborn human spirit that we now have because we're born again. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. When I'm sitting there going, Kodobo Sandarabasi, there's a searching going on. There's a searching. And we're going to see in the next few verses, there's a comparing of spiritual with spiritual. And the Holy Ghost is doing a work of comparing as I sit there. And I don't know what I'm saying. Kodo Bosanda. I don't have to know. I don't have to know. He's showing me. Mark, this is how God is. And this is how you are in your reborn human spirit. Comparing. If there's a comparing, there has to be something to compare it to. He's comparing himself with what he has invested in me, in my reborn human spirit. And he's comparing, he's showing me, this is how you are, Mark. And I sit there, and all of a sudden, the truth comes up, and I realize, I don't feel like I'm that way. Mark, you're not a liar anymore. There's no lies in you because you are spirit. You are reborn in the image of Christ. There's no lying in you. Well, you know, last week, there was that time that, you know, I did kind of fib just a little bitty bit of deception. Well, that didn't come out of that reborn human spirit because there's no lying in there. Okay, Jesus, then where did it come from? Because wherever that place is, I want that place changed. Well, see, you made that decision. And it was based on what programming still existed from that old man. You based your decision on that instead of on the part of you that's been transformed. Simple as that. And you rationalize in that part of you, in that part that's not been renewed, you rationalize it's going to be better for you to lie. And that's the direction you've sided because your soul is that unjust judge of Luke chapter 18. You sided with what was presented to you the most. The evidence, the preponderance of evidence presented to you the most. And all you've been presenting to the soul has been the things of the world. No, you don't have a fallen nature feeding you anymore. But what are you feeding yourself? Just by simply living in this world. Because that's what your soul is ruling on. Your soul is still being conforming to the world. It's still conforming the more you feed it. Now I know when you preach this way, here's what happens. People say, well, I'm going to throw my TV set away. I'm just going to throw it away. If that's the only thing you're going to do, throw your TV set away, you still have a problem inside of you because you've not addressed that. You've simply gotten rid of a symptom of a problem. The problem is that you've not yet transformed in the soul. So we can get rid of all of the superfluous things on the outside that show us how untransformed we are. I'm not going to go to any more movies. I'm not going to watch any more TV. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And that's going to solve all my problems. You've just tried to put something over your five senses thinking that that's going to cause a change inside. It will not. But it is a powerful force that you need to consider how much you are putting in. And maybe have some regulations on how much you allow that soul. Maybe you don't need 60 hours of TV every week. I don't know. I'm not laying a law down. You ask the Lord yourself. Do you get that? Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying we can affect a change inside of us. And that is going to be the place where the solution is found. The renewing of our mind. I'm not saying that you have to just go out and cut the TV cord. Stop doing this. Stop the internet surfing for hours and hours. What I'm saying is, if you will commit step by step, little bit by little bit, I'm going to spend this much time praying in tongues, this much time in the Word. Here's what will happen. Gradually, there'll be a desire within you that will come up. And, oh, I think I'd rather spend some time in the Word and not doing all this other stuff that feeds my senses. The desire will come from the inside out. You don't have to cut off the outside. It'll cut itself off. Do you get that part? You don't have to lay a law down and say, I'm not going to do any of that stuff anymore. All I'm going to do is sit here and read my Bible. Well, most of you can't do that anyway. You've got a job. You've got kids. You're sitting there struggling to get 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes in praying in tongues and listening to the Word or reading the Word. And that, you know, it's a struggle as it is. I will say this, and Debbie and I were talking about this. You can pray in tongues. If there's anything that God has done for us, He's given us something that we can do under our breaths very quietly, standing in the Walmart line. Many of your jobs, I worked jobs like you wouldn't believe, different jobs doing different things, and all the time I could pray in tongues. Many times I could listen to the scriptures or listen to teaching. I listened to Pastor Dave for years when I worked on the yachts. I listened to him. I prayed in tongues. So if we're looking for an excuse as to why I can't do this, praying in tongues is going to really be a hard thing to come up with an excuse against. I can do it while I'm in the car. I can do it while I'm, you know, in the shower, unless you get the water in your mouth and it's a little bit hard. I can do it when I'm walking the dog. I can do it all these different times. And all the time that I do it, the Holy Ghost is comparing spiritual with spiritual. Now, I will say this, and we're going to find this out here in the remaining part of the service. the word going inside of you. It's so crucial. It's so crucial. Because you need that word. And we're going to look at why. The why as to why you need the word going inside of you. So important. You need that word. And it, Debbie and I have an MP3 player. We either listen to Pastor Dave or Gary, or the guy that the voice on that does the Bible, whoever he is, all night long. One of those three is playing all night long in the bedroom where we're at. We just trained ourselves. Hey, when you face some of the battles that we face, you'll do anything. See, some of you, you don't understand. Why would you do that? You just haven't faced some of these battles yet, folks. You get yourself in a life-threatening situation, you will do anything. Anything to get truth inside of you to change so that unjust judge has something to hold on to other than the programming that it's received from this world, because that will get you in the ground whenever you're faced with a life-threatening situation. If you continue to feed yourself on what the doctors say. And I'm not saying to ignore that. See, here, this is the line right here. And this was where a lot of people get off. I'm not talking about, oh, I just reject what that doctor says. I'm not going to believe that. See, that's the kind of foolishness that'll get you in the ground. See, that's facts. And as Gary so wonderfully taught us years ago, truth will change those facts, but you cannot ignore the facts. The facts are the facts, and they come to you from a fallen world that is temporal, that changes all the time. It's what you do that will change those facts. It's the truth that comes out of your mouth that will change those facts. It's when the unjust judge inside of you decides, you believe it, that's the way it is, and the revelation comes, and you stand up off that deathbed and say, I'm healed. Well, you don't look healed. I'm healed anyway. And this body that I am clothed with, that I look out of these little windows. That's all it is. I look out these little windows into this world, but the real me is spirit in this body. Looking out these little windows, clothed with a body, subject to the things of this world. I have to tell it how it feels. No, I don't feel good today. No, you feel fine. You are the healed of the Lord, because I tell you that you are. Because that's truth, and truth will change the facts that you're faced with. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. I will tell you this. If you're faced with an oncoming train and you're laying on the tracks, just get up and get out of the way as fast as you can. Don't sit there and try to confess your way out of it. Just get up and move. See, we were faced with something. It was a slow moving train. But it was a train nonetheless. That train with the word cancer on the side of it was moving. And it was moving our way. Now, had we been better stewards of our time before that, and I blame myself because I'm the head of my house. I don't blame my wife, I blame me. What I let in that door, I let in, and it's me, it's not her. And she almost died. Do you think I'm passionate about this? Yes, I am. Very passionate about this. I don't want you laying on those train tracks. I don't care how fast the train's moving. If you don't do something to get yourself up off of it, it's going to run you down. You hear what I'm saying? Some of us have already been transforming, and you continue to transform, and bless God, I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. The enemy knows he can't run up against you with a lot of foolishness because it's no good. You've transformed past it. You know, he has that wheel of misfortune. Will they believe this? Will they believe this? Then the symptoms start coming. Will they believe this symptom? Will they believe that symptom? Blah, 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 blah. He can't hit you the way he hits so many people. But yet he will try to hit you with something. He studied you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what makes you flinch. He knows what you've been indoctrinated with for years. He's not walking up to me trying to convince me I have dengue fever, okay? No. What's he trying to convince you of, Mark? Things that are much closer to home. And it's the amount of transformation that affects whether or not I accept it, whether or not I stand against it, or whether or not I allow it to come in. He's reminding me of this, so I'm going to have to say this. 3 years ago, I sat right over here, and I had dealt with this thing with my eyes, and I was sitting right here during a conference. Pastor Dave stood right here, and this was just after going through all of Debbie's treatment. And here I was literally going to the eye doctor one time every week, and had done it for months. Hadn't told anybody about it. While she's going through all of her mess, here I am with eye problems, with eye symptoms that the outside of your eye has a layer on it, a protective layer. When it gets so dry, that outside layer just rips right off. And it hurts. And it was happening to me every week. I'd have another one of those. And then what happens is that outer layer tries to form again. And before it could form, it was ripping off again. And it's a horrible cycle. Pastor Dave stood right here and he said, "I've never heard this before." And you know how he is. Kind of like, "I never heard this before. But I hear tear ducts." And that's exactly the words I needed to hear. I stood up, came over, he prayed for me. 3 months, symptom free. I'm convinced, I'm healed. What am I doing? I'm walking on his faith. Forgetting that I have to develop my own faith to maintain my own miracle. And did it come back? Yes, it came back. It came back. And I just have to tell him myself, I fight it to this day. Knowing what happened that day, knowing that I have my miracle, it's still something that I'm contending with and for the full manifestation of it. Why was that? Because I was lazy. That's the truth. I was lazy. I wanted to ride on his coattails of faith. Carry me home, Pastor Dave. I've got my miracle. How many people have that same problem? The simple thing is that unjust judge has not convinced yet that you believe it. You've got to believe it. That was for somebody. I don't know who it was, but there it is. All right. Now, I'm going to finish this up. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 because this is where he said to go. So here we go. I'm going to read this. I have a little bitty note here. And the reason why I wrote this is because he said it's so good. And I didn't know if I could stand up here through all of the things that you go through and actually repeat this word for word because it was so good. I want to read it. Everything, this is the filter of my soul. Everything I receive as input through my five physical sense gates must pass through the filter called my soul. My soul is currently in the process of being transformed by the renewing of my mind. To the degree my mind has been renewed by the Word of God is the degree to which the transformation gathered by the five physical senses can correctly be processed and understood in the light of the Word of God. Because the facts your senses are so good at gathering are just facts. Facts drawn from a fallen world. Facts that are subject to the truth of the Word of God. All the time you're gathering these facts. You're gathering these facts. Your unjust judge is receiving these facts. Your unjust judge is being programmed by them. Unless you program them with something other than this world. Well, where, Mark, would I find something other than this world? In these pages of 66 books called the Word of God. Here are the thoughts of God. Here is the programming from another world that you must take and put inside of you. And that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is talking about. So go. Let's look there. We're going to start in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, what did I just say? We live in this world. You walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. Now this scripture, look at me just for a second. You're very familiar with. Some of you have taken these next few words and have gone out on city crusades to attack the strongholds of that city. We're gonna fly over Tulsa. We're gonna command those strongholds. You come down in the name of Jesus. And all the time that you're commanding those strongholds, the very strongholds that Paul is talking about, it's not over there somewhere. It's right inside of you. I'll say that again. Those strongholds are not out on the outside somewhere. I just need to get those strongholds down. The strongholds Paul's talking about. The Holy Ghost through Paul. Those strongholds are right inside of you. Not in your reborn human spirit, they're in your soul. What you believe, how your mind thinks. And this is what he said. He said that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. And all the time we're thinking, oh, I've got these strong weapons, I'm going to go out and slay some devils. The weapons of our warfare that are not carnal are not like some kind of a sword, that an invisible sword in our hand that we go out and we flash around trying to kill some devils. That's not it. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds that are in my mind. It's in our mind. In our soul, how we believe. Casting down imaginations, the systems of thought that are empowered by our emotions. That's the strongholds. Casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every one of those thoughts. Every one of them strongholds. You got problems with the way you think? Your answer is not to go into another prayer line and have somebody else pray for you and maybe you'll get set free. That might help you with some grace. But the grace is for you to do something. That's it. Why have the grace if it's not for you to do something? Why have the grace? It doesn't happen automatically. If it did, why have the grace? The grace is to help us to do what we're supposed to do. Well, what are we supposed to do, Mark? Well, that's a good question. The doing part, go to Hebrews 4. Oh, wait a minute. No. What is it, Lord? Ephesians 6. We're identify, because we're talking about warfare here. I want to identify this piece that I use in this warfare. Well, the best place to look at warfare And armor, isn't that Ephesians 6? Yeah. So Ephesians 6, we're only going to look at verse 17 because you know this stuff. I'm just trying to bring it to your remembrance. And he said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus said, and you can just write this down, John chapter 6, verse 36, the words I speak to you, they are spirit, they are life. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And yes, he has enlightened this one scripture to me like never before. Hebrews 4, chapter 12. The Word of God. See, in fighting this warfare, if you're trying to fight it without your sword, it's not going to work. You got to have your sword. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And here he's going to identify the real problem here, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit. Okay, now stop right there. You want to see this problem. The problem is, and I'm going to go back. Go all the way back to Genesis. Just follow me. When Adam was first in this garden, and I've just started realizing this. When he's in this garden, walking around, he has been created with his spirit man in control. He's not controlled by his soul. His spirit man is the dominant one. His spirit man is alive unto God. His soul serves him. That's the way we're supposed to be. Our soul serves us, serves this new nature. But what happened? Whenever the fall happened, and I've looked at this, the soul takes ascendancy, the spirit dies, there is a fallen spirit, the soul is now taking ascendancy. And listen to this, we better thank God that happened. Had it not happened that the soul would take ascendancy, had that not happened and that fallen nature had maintained that position, the unlimited potential of every one of us would have been realized because the soul was not governing, would not have governed anything. Do you follow that? Had the soul not taken that step up, and I believe that was God's mercy that allowed the soul to take that position and the spirit, the fallen spirit, to take the place that it did. If it hadn't happened and the fallen spirit had been in that position of authority, the unlimited potential of wickedness would have been realized in each and every one of us. But because the soul had ascendancy, because there was ability, once we found out what was right and wrong, and God said, here's the penalty, and your soul will be in the place of decision, now I can stop. I'm not subject to that fallen nature. I can stop. And that's that artificial conscience. And I bring it back to where we are today, where we're at right now. I've been born again. Here's what I want. I want my spirit, my reborn human spirit in ascendancy. Not this soul that's been trained. But this is how we're left. We're left with having to reprogram the soul. And that's what the power of Hebrews 4 is telling us. The power of Hebrews 4 is saying, here's the word. There's such a close alignment between your soul and spirit that you don't really even know where one starts and one starts, or where one stops and the other starts. How many times has something happened? See, you're the spirit. You're the spirit. How many times has something happened and it's that thought in your mind? It's like, I shouldn't be thinking that way. That's not you. Your spirit. You're a reborn human spirit. That's a program running in that soul that needs to be transformed. See, that spirit man don't think that way. That spirit man doesn't think trash. That spirit man has a nature that's good. It's only good. You have a soul. You are a spirit with a soul. And what we have to do is renew that mind to think the way God thinks. And how we do it is with the sword of the Spirit, with praying in tongues. You take that sword. We do the battle that Hebrews chapter or 2 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about. We do that battle. And we take that sword and we carve away the difference between who we are, spirit, and the thoughts in the soul that have yet to be renewed. We carve it away. And the Holy Ghost, through comparing spiritual with spiritual, says, okay, Mark, that thought, that wasn't out of that renewed part of you. That was still out of that trash. Don't do that. Continue to feed the Word in. Continue to pray. Continue to be transformed. And eventually, those thoughts you won't have anymore. I'm not saying the devil won't try to plant some in there, but what I'm talking about is that program that runs. You know, he doesn't try to plant the same kind of horrible thoughts he used to inside of me. He doesn't try to convince me that, you know, I'm just an old drunkard. Because that doesn't work. I've been transformed. I know that's not who I am. My mind doesn't work that way. But there are times that he tries to just a little bit here, a little bit there. You're not really righteous. Who do you think you are? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I'll have you know. See, that's what needs to come out of your mouth. And if it doesn't, it's because you've not been transformed to it. It's as simple as that. The victory that we want, that I started out talking about at the beginning, where what we see in these pages is realized every single day of our life. It happens when we renew and transform. We renew our mind and we transform to the truth, and our soul no longer runs with that program from the world. Well, we always, going back to the scripture in Corinthians, will we always see through that glass darkly, chapter 13? There'll always be a little bit of darkness, because you're never going to totally transform while you're in this earth suit. You're always going to be looking through some sense of distortion. But I believe that you can transform to the place. Now follow me, and I'm going to close with this. To where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. Not one out of 100, but every single time. How can you believe that? Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Did you get anything from that today? I hope you did. Thank you, Jesus. We'll see you at 10 o'clock.